Welcome to Career Direction. I'm Nathan Olson, or Norwegian Soul. And today I'm happy to be talking with Aaron Hessen. Did I say that right?
Hessen.
Okay. Sorry about that. At Stansted College. And just before we get started, I'd just like to mention that if this is your first time at Career Direction, this is a blog for you if you're trying to determine who you are as a person and make a career decision that is more of a fit with who you are. So towards that end, again, I'm talking with Aaron Hessen, who is a guidance counselor at Stansted College. Well, I guess you're not just a guidance counselor, you're also a teacher of many subjects.
Yep, we do everything here.
Okay. And so how long have you worked at Stansted College?
This is my 9th September at Stansted.
9 years? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Time travels fast.
Okay. And how long have you been a university guidance counselor?
This is the 6th year I've been working in university guidance here.
The 6th year, okay. And just if someone hasn't been to Stansted College, you're from Nova Scotia, I understand,
yep.
And I'm from Saskatchewan. Maybe someone from my community or yours has never heard of the place. How would you describe it? What kind of a place is it?
Well, Stansted is an international prep boarding school for young students from around the world who are interested in bettering themselves and who are interested in a future in university, essentially.
Okay.
And we have lots of sports activities and other things like that that pulls lots of students in, so we're very into health and wisdom as well. So.
Okay, thank you. I noticed, I was just looking at your map, that you have students from China, students from New Zealand, students from Saudi Arabia, Mexico.
All over the world. Yeah, okay. I think we have 193 students this year from about 18 countries.
Okay. Is that kind of the norm?
Yeah, typically.
Okay.
Yeah, typically.
So, I mean, it's a complicated question, I guess, but just to begin, how would you go about helping students at Stansted College determine their career direction? I mean, how do you approach that?
Well, we're lucky here. I think students at a lot of schools in Canada or other places don't have as much time as we do, but we have a dedicated course for our students in career education.
Okay, and they take it as a credit course?
Then? Yep, and it's okay. It's not as often as some other core courses, but it's once every 7 days, and it gives our students a chance to meet with us, either individually or in a group, at least once every, I guess most once every 2 weeks by the entire 7-day cycle goes around. And we have students in grade 10, grade 11, and grade 12.
Okay.
And in 10th grade is when we do our big focus on career education in terms of kind of beginning the career selection process and determining what sort of things are right fits or interest or what kind of careers might match the skills that a particular student might have. In grade 11, we kind of develop that a little bit further. And then by that time, we're looking at different options that students may have in terms of what they need to do in order to get down that career path that they seem to be interested in. And of course, we're not into closing any doors, so we try and keep as many doors open as we can for students and kind of helping them find their way down the path, whether it's to college or university or whether it's in Canada, the United States, or beyond. And then by the time we get to grade 12, most of our students are spending most of their energy on figuring out just how they are going to make that next step between high school and future.
Okay, so in grade 10 and 11, they're kind of narrowing the field and identifying their skills and interests. And then in grade 12, they're sort of applying that.
Action plan.
Okay, it sounds like it must be a challenge for a lot of people, I would think. I mean, just coming from all around the world, I mean, here they are. Where should they study? What should they study? I mean, just in terms of struggles that students often face, are there common ones that you see over and over again, or is it different depending on the person?
Well, it's definitely different depending on the person, but there are some common ones, and that's one of the things that we're always asking is, well, what are you good at, or what do you like to do? And students on their own don't always find a way to kind of pair what they're interested in and what their skills are with future. You know, they say, oh, maybe I'm really interested in sport, but you know, I want to be a molecular biologist, or I want to be an engineer. Well, it's okay, well, let's talk about why you want to be an engineer, or why, you know, and we look at the skills that the students already have and what they're interested in, but sometimes they don't know what they're interested in. Sometimes I think they've found themselves even in grade 10 and 11 where they're just kind of following the crowd. So we need to help them try and identify their unique and special skills and their attitudes and abilities and what suits them.
Okay, I was just reading through your I don't know what this is called, your
Spectrum yearbook.
The Spectrum yearbook, and someone in that yearbook said something about, you helped me find the real me. I mean,
well,
I don't know if that's another part in the brochure. I read that Stansted College helps you discover yourself, so maybe that applies to more than just careers, I suppose.
I think it does. I think when they're talking about the Stansted experience and what helps them find the real them, is that we have a real diverse number of activities for the students here. So may be a young hockey player who's been kind of on the elite hockey path for the last maybe even 10 years. By the time they come here, if they're 17, they could have been devoting everything to hockey.
Right, junior and hockey if it's Canada. Or
yeah, that's right, exactly. That's right. And when they come here, our students are involved in a lot more than just athletics and a lot more than just academics.
Okay.
They're all participating in clubs, and they have to participate in three different sport activities throughout the course of a year. So even if you're a hockey player, for example, in the springtime, in the fall, you may pick up soccer or football or cross-country running, and in the springtime, you may pick up rugby or tennis or another sport that's interesting to you. I'm trying to think of the other one that you do in the spring.
So you try to expand them, help them expand their interests or
explore
their interests?
Okay. What options are available to them.
Okay.
So some of it's done by coincidence. That's the nature of our program here. And some of it's done by sitting down and talking with them.
Okay. That kind of ties into my next question, just in terms of how you guide them. I mean, I guess in the end, it's their responsibility to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you have this structure where you help guide them through these classes, and I suppose they could come to you and talk to you if they want to. But I'm just curious, do you have a certain way that you go about trying to guide students? Or maybe you've answered that already.
Well, it's different with every student, that's for sure. It's hard to define exactly. Maybe it's not an exact science because every person is different.
Uh-huh.
But the most important thing is to figure out what their interests and skills are.
Okay.
And help show them. You know, the real you or the real me, they're already there. You know, that person already exists.
Uh-huh, right.
It's just that the students can't always see it sometimes. I think, you know, they may get stuck on the path of, okay, well, you know, I have to do this, I have to do this, or this is the course that I'm really good at, so I'll do that. Well, do you like doing that? Well, no, actually, I don't really care much about that. I'd much rather, you know, spend my time making things and building things. Okay, well, maybe chemistry's not for you. Maybe engineering is more down your field.
Okay.
You know, and maybe you could be a chemical engineer and combine building things with things that you're really good at, like chemistry.
Okay, so so people come here, and it seems like they've already made a decision to go to university. Is that right?
More or less. We are a university prep school, so our students are definitely kind of on the path to post-secondary of some kind. 95% of our students go to four-year universities, and 5% will go to a two-year college or technical program.
Okay, so they may discover in the end that maybe that's not what they really want to do, but they're headed that direction. They can do it if they want to.
That's right, yeah. Exactly.
No, I'm sorry, I hadn't planned on asking this question, but I'm just curious, to what extent is it important to keep your options open, and to what extent is it important to focus and narrow?
It's a good question. There's a bunch of different schools of thought on that. If you look at the Canadian education system, in a lot of ways, tends to become more focused and earlier. You know, if you decide that you want to go into engineering, as an example, you're working, you know, if you go to the University of Waterloo, you're working in your first term. You're not even actually studying at the University of Waterloo. So some schools will ask you to go into chemical or declare exactly what field you want to go into. You know, some other schools, they put you in a general kind of engineering sciences program in the first year. But if you look at the American system, the liberal education is much more, kind of liberal arts education is much more popular, where it's you kind of explore all categories a little bit deeper, and you develop that. I guess you would develop it a little bit later, where you'd be more specialized by the end of your kind of liberal arts course or into your postgrad.
Okay, so someone's in grade 11, and I suppose at that point they aren't necessarily committed to a specific career path. Mm-hmm. I suppose, I'm assuming at that point it might be good if there is a grade 11 student listening to be keeping their options open. Or at that point, do you think, is it already good to try to focus a little bit?
Well,
or does it depend?
By 11th grade, most people probably have an idea in terms of general fields of study that they might be interested in. You might know by grade 11 if you're interested in the sciences, or if you really dislike the sciences, or if you're really interested in economics and business, or if you have a dislike for economics, mm-hmm. or if you're more interested in the humanities, like languages and history and political science and that side of, sort of field of things. And 11th grade, if you're not sure if science is for you, now we're counseling students that it's better to keep those science options open, because by the time you get to grade 12, if you decide science is for you, but you didn't take those science courses in grade 11, it's already, in fact, the door is kind of closing in that way. It's not shut. There's definitely options around it, and there's definitely ways to fix it. And you and I probably both know there's lots of ways to find your career path through university or after.
Yes, okay. Is there anything else you want to add along those lines, or shall we move on?
No, that's good, I think.
Okay. You mentioned before when we were talking just the resources that you have found helpful in terms of helping students select their career direction. I'm wondering if you could just talk a bit about that program or whatever it was you were referring to.
Yep, here we use actually an online system, career management system called Career Cruising.
Okay. Yep.
And it's kind of our online home for our university guidance program here, and students start working with it in 10th grade. And again, 10th grade is all about, for us, all about exploring different career paths and fields, and you're doing all of those kind of, you know, questionnaires where they're asking, do you like to build things, or do you like working with your hands, or do you like working with people, or you know, would you much rather do a clerical task, or what kind of would you be interested in? And they look at all those types of things, and they suggest some possible careers for you, and you can go in and do all kinds of research on those field, on those careers. So if I decided teacher was one of my options that came up, I could go in and I could read about what it's like to be a teacher.
Okay.
I could see day in the life of a teacher, and I could see what they do every day from, you know, the time they get to work until they go home. I could see general salary range, and I can, there's a couple, always a couple of interviews where you can actually see video or audio interviews with teachers or whoever people working in that field. So it's kind of neat. There, students can get advanced, and they can do that. They can access that at any time. So they don't have to be in career education class in order to do that.
Right, they just go online. Do they need a special code, or
They just they have a login, and so they log right in, and then they can go in and kind of explore. And they can also kind of look at career clusters. So maybe the engineering, or the medical, or the science, or the humanities, or the human services, or those different clusters of groups of careers that might be interesting to them. And it's like, oh, you know, they might find a career that they've never heard of before. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't know that you could be a social worker, or you didn't know that you could be any kind of medical technician. A lot of people are thinking just kind of, you know, I want to be a doctor, but I don't really want to be a doctor. You know, I want to be a doctor, but I don't want to go to med school, and I'm not that interested in that type of thing.
Right.
I'm more interested in helping people through the medical field. Well, maybe you want to be radiation technology or X-ray tech, or, you know, something like that. So
is it possible for someone who just has access to the internet to actually get on this program, or is it an institutional type thing?
No, it's an institutional type thing. So you can go on to careercruising.com, and you may be able to enter actually as a guest. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it's something that we, a service that we provide for our students.
Okay, and other schools may provide that service
as
well.
Yeah, it's quite common.
It's called Career Cruising. Okay, thank you. Again, in seeking to try to determine a career that is a fit with who you are, I mean, you have students coming and going here all the time. This college has been around since the 1800s, is it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a long time.
Yep.
I was reading a little bit about it. I understand you just had an alumni gathering, and I'm just curious what kind of feedback do you get from your alumni as they've entered out into university and into their lives? It must be, I'm assuming it's mostly positive, but what kind of things do people tell you that you're doing well, or you could do better, or?
Well, you're definitely right that most of the feedback we get afterwards is mostly positive. Students have found that, like the student that you referenced before, they're saying they got the right foundation in order to go forward. So not all students continue on in the path that they started on here.
Okay.
But they do kind of have a base that will help them say, okay, you know, I got here, I'm at the University of Ottawa, and I'm studying neuroscience, and you know what, I realize now that I'm a little bit deeper into it, it's not for me, I'm going to transfer. But they have the skills in order to kind of navigate that a little bit better.
Okay.
And there's always, every year there's always a student or two that comes back with some really amazing advice, like, I wish I'd known this, or, you know, I wish I'd known this before I went to university, or what it would be like to be in a dorm that was co-ed, or, you know, that kind of thing. And we try and pass those tips along to our students. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're a grade 12 student and you're graduating and you're on top of the totem pole and, you think you're that's right, you're feeling pretty bulletproof. And I don't know whether all of the advice from their classmates gets back to them, but I think it comes in handy when they find themselves in university in September.
I'm just curious, again, I hadn't mentioned this, but how important is it to have a second language? Do you have a second language here in Quebec? I'm not sure if...
Personally, I'm not bilingual.
Oh, okay. I just know that this is a bilingual area. I'm not either, just...
I think it's very important to have a second language, especially living in Quebec. And we have students from such diverse language backgrounds here, so, you know, I know almost as much Spanish by now after being at Stanstead for 9 years as I do French. But nothing comes without practice, so definitely it's important to practice. And if I applied myself, I'm sure I'd be happier. But I think it's, you know, the world is shrinking in terms of business and society. So in order for people to be productive in today's society, I think having a second language is extremely important.
Okay, so no matter what you do, I suppose. We have about 4 minutes left in our time here, and I'm just curious, I don't know how much you feel comfortable sharing or saying, but I'm just curious about your story. Just, you're a teacher, you're from Nova Scotia, you work as a guidance counselor, you've been here for quite a while, I understand. How did you end up where you are?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think if you look on paper, it looks pretty typical, I think. I'm from a family of educators, and my mother's an educator in Halifax, and I'm in lots of ways, I'm just kind of following along in her footsteps. But I know that when I went to university, I took a degree in kinesiology, and I looked at all sorts of different fields as I was graduating, and I was working for the university at the time, and took some business courses, and was thinking about going off into business, and I was also kind of had education in the back of my mind, and I actually took part in this internship program that was an initiative from the Canadian government, actually. And it was called the Youth Employment Strategy, and it was designed to give youth practical experience in their field. And so I actually went to Ethiopia and worked for 6 months at an education training center. And there I was doing some communications and networking sort of stuff for them. But I think after about 2 months there, I realized, like, education is for me. And I was kidding myself if I was thinking, you know, I wasn't going to go down that path. So, I, of course, reactivated my application to education and went to Teachers College. And after graduating from Teachers College, I was playing rugby in Quebec and ended up finding Stanstead, which was the perfect fit for me because I'm interested in the whole student, and that's part of my professional kind of, I don't know, approach on things. So it was a good fit for me because we had a lot of opportunity to get to know our students really well and, you know, teach them inside and outside the classroom. You know, I do as much teaching on the playing fields or in my clubs as I do in the classroom, and certainly through our community service initiative. So it was a good fit for me that way. And when a position came up in university guidance 6 years ago, I was excited and I thought that was something I might like to do. And here I am now.
Okay, so how are you finding it so far? How do you feel if you set on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being very much a fit and 1 being kind of a fit, where would you describe yourself?
Oh, I think I'm a 9. Okay. I think this is a perfect fit for me.
It is.
Of course, there's lots of other things that, you know, I'm interested in, but I can't imagine not doing this. And every time I come to that kind of crisis and I think, you know, what if I could do that? I always think, you'd have to stop doing this. Okay. And I don't want to stop doing this. So, you know, I guess it's a pretty perfect fit.
Sure. Well, thank you very much. Maybe I'll end our time there, unless you have any more final things you'd like to say. I'm just imagining a high school student really not sure which way to turn, and I think some of your comments have been helpful in at least giving them something to think about as they consider their next step.
Yeah. Well, they're not alone. If a high school student is out there worrying about, you know, what to do next or what's the right fit for them, they're not alone in that. Everyone is feeling pretty much the same way that they are right now. And, you know, it'll come to them. You know, focus on your passion and what you love to do and whatever you're, to a certain degree, what you're good at, but most importantly, what you love doing. And your career will be in there somewhere.
Okay, that's a very good comment to end on. Thank you very much. I'm Nathan Olson, our Norwegian Soul, and thanks for joining us today on Career Direction.